you want to make your funk the G-Funk, then you need to call on Dr. Dre. In the early 90s, the Los Angeles producer almost single-handedly crafted the new G-Funk rap sound. Dre made his first hits with Ice Cube and their gangster hip-hop crew, N.W.A. He dropped his first solo disc, The Chronic, in 1992. It was just one of his many hits during and after his days with N.W.A. Dr. Dre's patent mix of George Clinton-ish funk and slow rider hip-hop beats made him one of rap music's most important artists.
Mr. Buster, where you at? Can't scrap a lick, so I know you got your gap.
Dr. Dre also has a talent for making stars. He discovered Snoop Dogg and helped rocket Eminem to rap stardom. He's fought off all sorts of controversies with record labels and fellow rappers to remain one of the steadiest forces in hip-hop music. NPR's Farai today spoke with Ronan Rowe about his new biography of Dre.
Who is Dr. Dre in terms of who he was when he first got into hip-hop?
Dr. Dre was a young man from South Central Los Angeles. He was unsure of what to do with his life right around the time he was going to graduate from high school. And he had an interest in, you know, performing. And he joined a number of well-known groups. And at each stage of his career, he wound up introducing new elements, sounds, and techniques that influenced everything that followed.
What kinds of techniques did he introduce?
Well, for one, Dre is very well known for introducing a higher level of quality to the actual sound of a recording. And also musically, like in his first group, the World Class Wrecking Crew, he sort of fused rap beats to R&B with a song by an artist named Michelet called Turn Out the Lights, which was, I believe, in the late 80s, immensely popular. And then he had his group N.W.A., and with them, he sort of introduced like this Red Fox, Richard Pryor form of comedy, and then he continued to evolve and to grow. And by 1992, he'd formed his own record company and had discovered another superstar named Snoop Doggy Dogg.
With so much drama in the LBC, it's kind of hard being a Snoop D-O-double-G, but
and he played live music inspired by funk from the 60s and 70s on a single called Ain't Nothing But a G Thing.
One, two, three into the four. Snoop Doggy Dogg and Dr. Dre is at the dope, ready to make an entrance, so back on the before.
And there's definitely a little bit of art meets life here, because Michelet was not just on one of his records, was she?
No. When they met, they eventually fell in love, and they had a child together, a little boy named Marcel.
And then Michelet went on to be with whom?
Well, with Dre's former business partner at this label, Def Row Records, that they'd co-founded in 1992. His name is Marion Suge Knight, and Dre had been with the label, and ostensibly with Michelet, I believe, from 1992 to, say, 1996, when Dre and Marion Knight, Suge, parted, you know, under less than amicable terms. And today, you know, somehow, you know, Michelet is married to Mr. Knight and has children with him.
Suge Knight is one of the most controversial figures in rap history. People at various times have speculated on whether he was involved in murders and commissioning nefarious deeds. Mm-hmm. It's certainly clear that he doesn't mind giving an impression that he is one tough guy. And what kind of commentary did Suge Knight have about Dr. Dre and how street he was?
Well, in the beginning, they were very, very good friends. That once they had this parting of the ways in 96, you know, Suge obviously was not very happy, and he started sort of impugning, you know, everything from Dre's production abilities, which, you know, basically for the general interest audience means actually creating the records, to his manhood, his sexuality. You know, I mean, almost anything under the sun. I mean, Suge definitely had something, unfavorable to say about Dr. Dre.
Did you feel that in the course of your research that you got a better understanding of, right now, for example, there's so much talk about, you know, what is hip-hop? Is hip-hop making America a worse place for women, a worse place for kids, a worse place for everybody? Do you get the sense that Dr. Dre was what might have been seen as a stereotypical gangster rapper, or was he different in some ways, or a combination?
Well, a little bit of both. I mean, there was a time when he did sort of traffic in gangster rap, but then around 1996, that was a very pivotal year for him. I mean, he decided he just didn't want anything to do with this music anymore, not only for moral reasons, but it was also sort of tired. It was being so imitated. So Dre, anyone that kind of knows the music knows that Dre is a symbol of positive change. And in the book, I sort of tried to do what, you know, other writers haven't really, which is to kind of focus on the specific lyrics and the themes that he was using on each song. And he sort of treats them like his music is an ongoing diary of sorts.
Do you think that he has gotten what he deserves in terms of props compared to someone like Puff Daddy, P. Diddy, whatever name he's using right now? He hasn't been out front recently. He hasn't been someone who has become a mainstream pop culture figure like, P. Diddy or Russell Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
Is he someone who wanted to be in that level of spotlight, or is there something in his personality where he doesn't seek it?
I believe that his goals may have evolved. There was a point when he did want this image of, you know, being the Aftermath CEO, you know. But I think after a while, I guess he just has more responsibilities. And I think that, you know, he just sees, you know, all that glitters is in gold. And I think that, you know, based, you know, on everything that I researched and everything and I've learned about him, I think he's just sort of deciding, you know what, I want to do other things. Because every time I've spoken with him a number of times over the years, he always had an intense interest in film. And I think that right now he's just sick of the image. You know, he's tired of it. He feels that the work could speak for itself.
Ronan Rowe, thanks a lot.
Thank you very much.
That was NPR's Farai. Today I'm speaking with Ronan Rowe about his new book, Dr. Dre, The Biography. Next on News and Notes, the first white student to graduate from an all-black Alabama high school. And Jeff Obafemi Carr takes us to the playground for this week's Snapshot.